Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, at the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is April 2, 2017, or it's ABF 6, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Faith is a Victory. Encamped along the hills of life, he saw Russian soldiers ride and press the battle through the night, survey the glowing sky. Against the foe and there below, and all our strength be found. It is the victory we know. That overcomes the world. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love. Our sword, the word of God. We tread the road to saints above, with shouts of triumph trod. Our faith, they like a whirlwind's breath, swept on o'er every field. Our faith, by which they conquered death, is still a shining shield. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand a foe we find, drawn up in dread array. The tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth overhead above. You shall tremble beneath the tread, and echo with a shout. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the soul, what greatness shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then on from the hills of light, our hearts in love of flood, the vanquished all the host of night, and yes, his conquering name. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Okay, let's get started with number 15 of Righteous by Faith. We're in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Yahweh forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into the Yahshua Messiah were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into the death, that like as Yahshua is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Yahshua, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Yahshua, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto Yahweh. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah our Savior. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now to yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Yahweh as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto the Yahweh. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Yahweh forbid. Know ye not that unto whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, unto whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Yahweh be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of the doctrine that was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants unto uncleanness and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants unto righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Let's do that again. For when you were the servants of the sin, you were free from the righteousness. Well, let's add a little bit more to that now. Let's go back and reread that verse 20, Romans 6. For when you were the servants of the sin, of the transgression, against the whole law of the Yahweh, you were free from the righteousness by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant. That actually would set you free. Indeed, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants unto Yahweh, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life through the Yahshua Messiah, our Savior. Okay, that ends Romans chapter 6. Let's now look at our next chapter. Chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation unto them which are in the Yahshua Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in the Yahshua Messiah hath made thee free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin and the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject unto the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please Yahweh. That ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Yahweh dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Yahshua, he is not of his. As Yahshua be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yahshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Yahshua from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are dead as not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, that if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, they are the sons of Yahweh. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of the adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of Yahweh. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of Yahweh and joint heirs with Yahshua. If so be that we suffered with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of Yahweh. For the creature was made subject unto vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of Yahweh. As your animals are going to be delivered too. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by the hope. Verily, hope that is seen is not the hope, for what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of Yahweh. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Yahweh, unto them who are the called according unto his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also glorified, and whom he glorified, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say unto these things? Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything unto the charge of Elohim's elect? It is the Yahweh that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Yahshua that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of Yahweh, who also maketh intercession for us. There it is, right there. That making intercession is with his blood on a daily basis. Who shall separate us from the love of Yahshua? Shall not tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Let's go read that verse 35 again, Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Yahshua? Shall a tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of the Yahweh, which is in his Son Yahshua, the Messiah, our Savior. End of Romans chapter 8. Now let's go right on into chapter 9. It says, I say the truth in Yahshua Allah not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were cursed from Yahshua for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, unto whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of the Yahweh and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Yahshua came, who is over all, Yahweh blessed forever. Hallelujah. Not as though the word of Yahweh hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel that are of the Israel. Neither because they are the seed of the Abraham, or they are children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in Yahshua Messiah, our Savior. Okay, I had read that already, but it was worth reading again. Let's now fast forward to Romans chapter 9, verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Yahweh. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of the promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of Yahweh according unto the election might stand, not of works both of him that calleth, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with the Yahweh? Yahweh forbid. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of the Yahweh that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show thy, my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he harden. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that replies against Yahweh? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made thee thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if Yahweh, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. And he saith also in O.C., I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living Elohim. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. And because the short work will Yahweh make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Yahshua of the Sabbath. And the reason I say Yahshua now, had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and have been made like unto Gomorrah. Well, actually, that should be the Yahweh of the Sabbath. It says, say, Boaz. But we know that Yahshua is also, well, it says Yahshua here in Mark 2:27-28, it says that he's the Yahshua of the Sabbath. Also, it says, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is the Yahshua also of the Sabbath. In other words, the Father and the Son both are the creators of the Sabbath. And then when you go to the creation week, there in Genesis chapter 1, you're dealing with the Sabbath, the creation of the Sabbath. You see Genesis chapter 1. And Yahweh saw, verse 31, and Yahweh saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them, and on the seventh day Yahweh ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Yahweh blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Yahweh created and made. Okay, so Yahweh, this shows like, it's talking about him, a singular term here, creating the heavens and the earth and the seventh day Sabbath. He's just, we know what it says there in Hebrews, and again, I keep reminding everyone what it says there in Hebrews chapter 1. And rightfully so, we need to read it. It says, Yahweh, who at sundry times and in divers manners, and meaning in different unusual manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So, when Yahweh created here in Genesis chapter 1, he says here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, he says, and Yahweh said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Then it goes on in verse 27, so Yahweh created man in his own image. In the image of Yahweh created he him, male and female created he them. But in verse 26, it showed that his Son was with him in the creation of mankind, Adam and Eve. But it says, verse 27, but it talks like Yahweh in a singular term, is solely the creator of. And in other places in the Bible, it says Yahweh is the creator of all things by himself. But then when it says that in Hebrews chapter 1, by whom also he made the worlds, it's talking about his Son, who being in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Okay? So Yahshua, it says in verse 2 again in Hebrews chapter 1, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. So, he inherited the 144,000, Yahshua the Son, he inherited this whole world. So, if he inherited the whole world, then by the Father's power, he can restore this whole world in these last days, by the power of the Father. And so Yahshua has been appointed heir of all things, and so he comes down to this earth, and he appoints him an under-servant, Elijah David, to be his co-helper. So now he has a co-helper. Yahweh had a co-helper with his Son in the creation of this world and all the worlds. And now Yahshua's Son has inherited all things, and now he has a co-helper. So it behooves us to get it right and to be on the ball 24/7 doing this work. Now let's go back to Romans 9, verse 30. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles that followed not after the righteousness have attained unto the righteousness, even unto the righteousness that is of the faith in the blood of the Yahshua? And you'll find that confirmed in Romans 3:25. It says, whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of the sins that are passed through the forbearance of the Yahweh. So now you see why we have to have the blood of the Yahshua? Because he attained unto righteousness. And how did he attain unto righteousness? You mean Yahshua, he was born perfect without sin, and no doubt that is equivalent to having his own, having the righteousness of the Father. But what does it say there in Hebrews 5? It says, verse 5, so also Yahshua glorified not himself to be made an high priest, But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in Osee, in another place, also as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from the death and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Okay, so what was it he had to be obedient to? He had to be obedient unto his father. He had to be obedient unto the cause that he was called upon to perform. And that was to defeat sin on this earth, on this planet. And the author of it, Satan, Lucifer, and his angel, he had an enemy that had an army of people. And it just came to me. If Lucifer hadn't been able to entice all of those, a third of the angels in heaven to follow him, number one, he would not have had an army, and he couldn't by himself duplicate himself and create an army. So, he created him an army and a following in heaven, the angels that fell and followed him. And then he's able to come to this earth and defeat Adam and Eve. And then he had an army that could patrol his planet that he claimed that he had won the victory over. And so it says, Yeshua, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So he had to stay on track. He had to be obedient unto his cause that he was called for. And that was endure deprivation, suffering, agony, pain. He had to go through all the things that so easily besets mankind, what mankind has to go through in his life. Yet if we're empowered with the power that Yahshua is empowered with, then we can endure also. And we can learn we can learn obedience. It says that he had to learn obedience. Well, you think if he had been a perfect person and he had to learn obedience, how much more the sinful man has to learn obedience? And in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of the eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of the Father Yahweh and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, so now, we just finished up with Romans chapter 9. Actually, we need to read Romans 9, 32 and 33. Wherefore, because they sought it not by the faith and the blood of Yahshua, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Okay? They stumbled at that stumbling stone. What was that stumbling stone? Yahshua, the high priest, that took the place of the animal sacrifices, and not only that, he took the place of the earthly priest as well, here on earth. So Yahshua became the embodiment of the whole sanctuary system, the sacrifice and the priesthood. Okay? And as a minister over the temple in heaven, the sanctuary service in heaven. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 33, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Okay, sum it all up just in one summation here. Yahshua became the embodiment of the whole sanctuary system and the whole law of Moses, all wrapped into one body and one administrator. Yahshua, he took the place of the animal sacrifice. He took the place of the earthly priesthood. And so, and not only that, just he could operate as a priest during the year, but on the day of the atonement, he could operate as a high priest. So he could play those two roles of the regular priest and the high priest. And he became our mediator, our advocate, our propitiation for sin. He became our judge. He became our counselor, as it says in Isaiah chapter 9. Let's go read it. It says about start of the verse about 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty Yahweh," and so I'm just going to read just like Isaiah's got it here, "The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Okay. So I read to you there in Hebrews chapter 1-3, or 2, it says that the Yeshua, the Son, inherited all things, in all things on this earth. Okay. So when he inherited all things, the government was put upon his shoulder. And so a child is born unto us. His child grew up, and he became a wonderful counselor of the Mighty Yahweh, of the Everlasting Father, as the Prince of Peace. I add the prepositions there. Okay. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of the David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with the judgment and with the justice from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Yahweh of," I'm going to put the Yahweh, the Father now, "of the host will perform this." Verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 9, "For the Yahweh sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in their pride, in the pride and stoutness of the heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with the hewn stones, and the sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." Okay, that's another story. Let us go back now to our theme of righteousness by faith and continue on our reading from the scriptures. We're in, I believe, chapter 14 now. Oh, no, chapter 10. I believe we're going to chapter 10 of Romans chapter, Romans. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer unto Elohim for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of Yahweh, but not according unto the knowledge. For they have been ignorant of Yahweh's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of the Father." For Yahshua is the end of the law for righteousness unto everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which that doeth those things that shall live by them. But the righteousness that is of the faith is with the speaking on this wise, saying not in thine heart, who shall ascend into the heaven? That is, for the bringing Yahshua down from above, or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Yahshua from the dead. What saith it? For the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of the faith that we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Yahshua Messiah, let's do that again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Yahshua Messiah, and shalt believe in thy heart that the Father, Yahweh, hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's read verse 10 again. For with the heart man believeth unto the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto the salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Yahshua over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Yahshua shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel or the plan of salvation through the blood of the Yahshua. For the Isaiah says, Yahweh, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke thee to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. The Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. But then the Israelite said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Romans 14, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not unto doubtful disputation. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for Yahweh hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? And his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for Yahweh is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day a lot. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Yahweh, and he that regardeth not the day to the Yahweh, he doth not regard it. He that eateth unto the Yahweh, for he giveth a Yahweh thing. And he that eateth not unto the Yahweh, he eateth not and giveth Yahweh thing. For none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. For whether we live unto the Yahweh. And whether we die unto the Yahweh. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Yahweh's. Unto this end, Yahshua both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Yahshua both of the dead and the living. Now let's go back and read verse 8 all over again. For whether we live unto the Yahshua, the Son. And whether we die unto Yahshua. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Yahshua. And what does it say there in Galatians 3:29? It says, if you be Yahshua, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, exactly what is that saying? It says, and if ye be Yahshua, well, that is an incomplete statement because it says, if you belong unto the Yahshua, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according unto the promise. Okay, now Romans here, he is saying that, for whether we live unto the Yahshua, and whether we die unto the Yahshua. Now how do we know that we die unto Yahshua? Whether we live live therefore or die, we are the Yahshua. Well, what does it say over here there now in Romans chapter 6? It says that, verse 8, now we being dead with Yahshua, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Yahshua, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto Yahweh. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto the Yahweh, the Father, through the Yahshua Messiah, our Savior. There you have it, right there. There's your confirmation. Now we go back to Romans chapter 14. For unto this end, verse 9, Yahshua both died and rose and revived that he might be the Yahshua both of the dead and the living. In other words, that he might be the Savior both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou sit at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of the Yahshua. There he is right there. Judgment seat of the Yahshua. In John 5:22, it says, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. There you have it now. So we go back to Romans. And that's Romans 14:11 now. Okay, it says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Yahshua, every knee shall bow unto me, and every tongue that confess shall confess unto the Father, Yahweh. So then every one of us shall give account unto himself, of himself unto, for who? It says God here, but Yahshua just got to declaring that every knee's going to bow unto him. So, let's read that verse 12 again. So then every one of us shall give account of himself unto the Father, Yahweh, through his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Savior Yahshua that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, unto him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walketh thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Yahshua died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of Yahweh the Father is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Yahshua is acceptable unto Yahweh and approved of men. So it says, for he that in these things serveth Yahshua the Son is acceptable unto the Father and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for the peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroyeth not the work of Yahweh, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good now to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith, have it unto thyself before Yahweh. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of the faith. For whatsoever is not of the faith is sin. Okay, that's the end of Romans chapter 14. Now we're going on to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of the Yahshua Messiah, through the will of the Father and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the congregation of the Yahweh which is at the Corinth, unto them that are sanctified in the Yahshua Messiah, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Yahshua Messiah our Savior, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you, and peace from Yahweh our Father, and from the Savior Yahshua Messiah. I thank my Yahweh always on your behalf for the grace of Yahweh which is given unto you by the Yahshua Messiah, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Yahshua was confirmed in you, so that you come behind and no gift awaiting for the coming of our Savior Yahshua Messiah, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Savior Yahshua Messiah. For the Yahweh is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Yahshua Messiah, our Savior. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Savior Yahshua the Messiah, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Shiloh, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and of Apollos, and I of the Cephas, and I of Yeshua. Is Yeshua divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of the Paul? I thank Yahweh that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say that I have baptized in mine own name, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Yahshua sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Yahshua should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of the Yahweh. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not Elohim made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of the Yahweh, the world by the wisdom knew not Yahweh. It pleased Yahweh by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Yahshua crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Yahshua the power of Yahweh and the wisdom of Yahweh, because the foolishness of Yahweh is wiser than men, and the weakness of Yahweh is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but Yahweh hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and Yahweh hath made chosen and hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised which hath Yahweh chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in the Yahshua Messiah, who of the Elohim has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that gloweth, let him glory in the Yahweh. End of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And it looks like we're at the end of our study for this hour. You can contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Nothing between.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Out of this world. Blessed dream, I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Gosh, the first man nothing between my soul and the Savior. Nothing prevent in the least of his favor. Keep the blackness, nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure.
habits of love through harmless they sing. Must not my heart from him ever severed? He is a whole that he betrayed. Have been betrayed my soul and the Savior. So let this blessed face may be seen. Nothing preferred in the least of his favor. Keep the flock gathered, nothing between. Nothing between, like pride or station. Self or friend shall not intervene. Though it may cost be much tribulation, I am resolved as in between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that this blessed face may be seen. Nothing prevents the least of his favor. Keep the faith clear, nothing between.